God is so great, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so great, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are his, the rivers are his.
Oh, poor kids.
My God is so great, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. For you.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We're thankful to have everybody here with us today. Today, if you want to stand up, clap, shout, praise the Lord, whatever you want to do, y'all.
Been walking the single road for miles and miles. If you've been hearing the same old voice and the same old lies. If you try to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life.
Yeah.
There's a better life.
Yeah.
If you got faith, these are pains that ain't good. If we were lost, these are waymakers. If you need freedom and saving, these are prison shaking saviors. You got chains, these are chain breakers. And we've all served for a life, day in the dead of night. And we've all found ourselves worn out for the same old fight. We've all done the things we know that just ain't right. There's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, these are pains that ain't good. If you feel lost, these are waymakers. If you live freedom and saving, these are tricks and shake and save you. God says, these are chain breakers. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify.
Woo!
If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify.
Testify.
If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify.
You got saved.
He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom and saving, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains. He's a chain breaker. If you need freedom and saving, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains. He's a chain breaker.
Come on, testify.
There's a man that left his mountains. on the highways and the cities. And I've seen his power in mountain battles, and there's a face that stands by. It seems my life into his knees. And I see his grace unravel shackles right off my feet. Cause that's the power of your name. Just a mention fades away. Giants fall and strongholds break, and there is healing. And that's the power that I bring. It's the same that rolled the rain. There's no power like the mighty name of Jesus. Right. And there's a holy call out of in the furnace on a in the God of every expectation, in every prayer I made, is all empty grave. Cause that's the power. Just a mention makes a way. Giants fall and strongholds break, and there is healing. And that's the power that I claim. It's the same that rolled the grave. There's no power like the mighty name of Jesus. And I see you taking ground. I see you press a hole. Your power is dangerous to the enemy's camp. And you still do miracles. You will do what you say. For you're the same God now and you've always been. Your spirit breaking out, your kingdom pressing in, your victory plans of power in the enemy has. And you still do miracles, and you will do what you say. And for you're the same God now that you've always been. And I see you taking ground. I see you press again. Your power is dangerous to the enemy's camp. Yes, you still do miracles, and you will do what you say. For you're the same God now that you've always been. Your spirit is breaking down, your kingdom's moving in. And your victory claims the ground that the enemy's had. And you still do miracles, and you will do what you say. For you're the same God now that you've always been. And that's the power of your name. Just a mention makes a way. Giants fall and strongholds break, and there is healing. And that's the power that I claim. It's the same that rolled the grave. There's no power like the mighty name of Jesus. And there's no power like the mighty name of Jesus. And there's no power like the mighty name.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to give, and grace my fears relieved. In that restless fear, that grace of you, be thou my first belief. If my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a dove, His mercy reigns. Hallelujah, amazing grace. The Lord has brought good to me. He is worth my hope to come. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life can endure. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a dove, His mercy reigns. Hallelujah, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine. Will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Amen. 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 Well, listen, y'all can have a seat. Thank y'all for what. Hey, y'all sound good.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amazing grace. Amazing grace. And that's up. Man, we don't deserve it, but He's good to give it to us. Ain't it? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And there's none of us that's went too far that His grace can't reach us. There's none of us that hadn't messed up too much that His grace can't reach us. I don't care what happened last night, last week, last 5 minutes. Guess what? His grace is sufficient. Amen.
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 Amen. We can all have something to testify on that.
Well, listen, now I'm not going to say a whole lot right now. I'll come back in just a moment. I'm honored and thankful to have the Chase House with us today. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Peach Springs Baptist Church, for your hospitality and opening up the doors to allow them to come in and just feel welcome and feel at home. I wouldn't do it any justice to try to explain a little bit more, but I believe the church needs to know a little bit about a little bit about the Chase House, because the thing about it is there are people that need something. Like, I found out with me having a way out ministry, it's not so much that somebody doesn't want the help. A lot of times they just don't know what help's available. They don't know what options are out there. They don't know the different things that
And so this is just one of the many resources that are available. And just to see what the Lord has done in Mason and Amanda Hester's life in Pontotoc, Mississippi. He started with the vision years and years ago. And I'm sure along the way there was probably people telling him, oh, it ain't going to happen. Oh, it ain't going to this. But he had a word from God. And he believed. And he had a vision. And that's a word for somebody. The Lord gives you a vision. The Lord's chosen you and got you a calling. And hold on to it despite what everybody else says around you. I'm reminding the Barnabas, Brian Barnabas, when he was sitting there and he said, he was just sitting there shouting. He heard that Jesus was coming. And he shouted. And everybody around Barnabas was like, be quiet. Stop shouting. Jesus ain't worried about you. There's other things. And a lot of people at times, when people talk against them, they'll stop shouting. But you know what Barnabas done? He shouted even louder. Oh, yeah. There's a way. And I know he's got something for us. So I'm thankful for that. Man, it's amazing. Praise the Lord. Man, thank you. So I'm not going to say a whole lot. I'm going to open up the pulpit and allow Mason and Amanda Hester to come up here real quick and just to say a little bit about it.
Well,
you got your shirt tucked in and everything. I probably need to do something different.
So the Chase House is just a place. It's more like a restoration home. We don't call it a rehab or anything like that. We've had people come through that wasn't necessarily struggling with drugs or addiction. They just needed a family dynamic. They needed a little extra push. They need some accountability and just some love. And we provide all that. It is a tough program. It's tough. It's great. It's a blessing, but these guys get up at 4 a.m. They get up. They have devotions, and they have room inspections. Their room has to be pretty much immaculate, and so it's just strong accountability. We want to keep our areas clean and be good stewards of what God's given us. I've seen God do great things here. I told the men this morning before we left, I said, you can't really watch me, because I'm just a man just like you, and I don't take any credit. It's all God. God's got callus on his hands and get out there and work and know how to bring the passion. and that's what does God's work, what's done it and penetrates forms. We went a long way. I know it took me a long time. It took me a lot of trial and error, and I was really good for it all. And we lived that way for so long that we just really have to retrain our brain and let God start working on us. It gives them structure. They go out into the world after they've been there for a while. They get them a job. They learn how to try to be good stewards and budget. But they also are tested because, they could provide that safe place when they come back. There's so much more that I want to do that I know that God's going to do. But we're just, I've always worked with what we've had. And we got a tremendous amount of people, and I've seen lives restored.
Amen.
God's raised up a lot of leaders here. There's leaders here that do a better job than I do, full of the Holy Spirit. I don't know why, but I felt led this morning, and I'm going to be quiet. And probably Abby and Walt knows, I'm still a work in progress, but I was really a work in progress. Y'all seen me. But there was the Chase House is named after my little brother. His name was Chase Ward, and he and I were totally opposite. He was definitely a great kid, probably got around some drinking and lost his life. And that's really where I stayed in the graveyard a lot. And I stayed in turmoil and I wouldn't let it go. And I would just be mad and bitter at God because, I was in this fantasy land thinking everything was supposed to be okay when you serve God. And then I would try to be super spiritual. And every time I'd fall, I'd just run because I didn't know that you couldn't make mistakes. And these principles I had to apply to my mind was the righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up.
Amen.
We got to keep getting back up. That was the key. Just got to keep getting back up. And I would spend countless days and nights in that graveyard. And there's a picture of me on St. Bishop's on the recovery wall, and I'm just skin and bones. It was horrible. Like, I was just horrible. And I would lay in that grave, and, God you know, I didn't see what he was doing. I didn't see all that pain that I was causing myself in and out of prisons and in and out of rehabs and hurting everybody. But God, you know, God made a way. He'll take all that pain that you went through and make something good out of it. You just believe. And I tell these men and now ladies all the time that if I could go back out there and take my brother back and put him back in one of these pews, there's no way.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it because his sacrifice was greater so that other lives can be changed.
Come on now.
Sometimes we don't understand what God's doing.
Yeah.
And I love each and every one of them. We're a family. With families come a lot of different issues. We got Christmas together. We're very close knit. One-on-one, I know each one of these men personally. I try to get them out this time with each and every one of them to the best of my ability. They see me frustrated. I see them frustrated. We pray about it and we get back up. We make sure they go to work. Most importantly, I couldn't do it without my wife. She holds everything together. So I have to give her credit.
Let's give it up for the wife.
I just go whatever says on the calendar, whatever the Lord says. So she really does everything. She didn't want to get up here and speak. But Walt played a major impact in my life. Walt and Abby both have. I remember us.
Yeah.
Can I share?
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember being in church with Abby, and we was all in this program. And Abby was beaming. And before you said anything about promises, Abby was beaming. She was just beaming. She was crying. She was beaming. And they spoke promises over her. And she never let go of that promise. And God has done tremendous, tremendous in her life. And me and Walt, we started in the same room, did the snuff together. We did triple every day. So we started somewhere, but they never let go of God's promises. And it don't happen instantly. It's a process, and you have to walk through the process, and it may take years. But when God blesses you, He's going to bless you, and it's never what you thought. It's always something so much greater. So if you're going through a hard time today, I encourage you to just keep pressing and hold on to God's promises. Because I've seen them manifested in their life, and your life, and so many other countless lives in here. That's what the Chase House is. It's God's house. Thank you.
Amen. So he started off, how long ago was it? It's about
2 years.
Going on 2 years or whatever. And so he started up just with the men. They had a house and just had a handful of men there. And then the Lord kept calling and calling him. And then eventually got a hotel, you know, out in, or a motel, so to speak, out in Pontotoc. And the Lord's hands of favor is on that couple back there for sure, because the Lord blessed them with a motel. The beautiful thing about it is at that motel, it used to be a dope motel. It used to be people would run there to get dope. But today, by the grace of God, they run there to get dope. You know? And so, and that was part of it right there, of the vision for him. And then since then, I've heard it said like this, you know, find a need and fill it, find a hurt and heal it. And another part of that, he's doing great things with the men. Well, then he sees that women are struggling as well, women and children. And by the grace of God, probably over 2 weeks ago, I think they just opened up their facility for women as well. Is eventually his heart is for the youth and for the young ones as well, and to grab them before they fall into the hands of the enemy, like so many do at times. And so,
amen.
Just thank you, Chase House and Mason and Amanda, for what y'all are doing. And just continue. So it's not any type of club, but I will say this: this whole facility, everything is just ran just up donations. Like, it's not a state-funded facility. It's not like, so, I mean, they really don't know how month to month they're going to make it, but by the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. If you feel it in your heart, you know, to want to support a ministry outside the church four walls, they're always looking for, you know, support, whether it be prayer, you know, whether it be financial support, whether it be cleaning supplies, whether it be food, whatever, like, it'd be a blessing for them with all. So just keep that in mind. The Lord tugs on your heart on anything. There's definitely a great need. And I believe in sowing seed, and not just sowing seed in dead, dry ground, but I believe in sowing seed in fertile, good ground. Amen?
Yes,
and to reap a harvest from that. And so, all right. Well, y'all ready to get into the Word?
Amen.
I'm going to try to get y'all out of here as quick as possible now that we kind of went along. Okay, so we're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 7. If you got your Bibles, you can turn there. If not, we'll have it on the board as well. But this series I'm doing is Chosen. So I'm going to read this real quick. Deuteronomy 7, 6 through 9 says it, or 6 through 8 says it. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth as his people and his treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you are more numerous than all the other people. For you are the fewest of all the people. But it was because the Lord loved you and he kept his oath to swear to your ancestors, and he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery or addiction or bondage or whatever it is from the power of the evil one or Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. So let me pray. Lord, I just honor you and pray for you right now, Lord. God, it's nothing to do with us, because like that scripture and that word says, we were the least of these. Lord, we do not get ourselves here on our own, Lord. It was only by your amazing grace, Lord, that you have set us apart. And so, Lord, I thank you, Father, that you have chosen us. And so, Lord, as you have chosen us, help us to identify with it, to walk in it, and to grow in it, Lord, to be the men and the women you have called us to be. Lord, we bless you, and Father, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. See, you got to understand, this is a series the Lord had kind of given to me the other day out of Deuteronomy 7 and 8, but he says right there, he says, you are a chosen generation. You are a chosen people. So the Lord has chosen you. But the beautiful thing about it, he did not choose us, young, old, or whoever. He didn't choose us because we were good. He didn't choose us because we were more numerous than everybody else. I don't know about you, but I know in high school or in elementary or whatever, I was not always the first pick. I wasn't always chosen. I was the least of these. I was that one that, you know, everybody else threw to the side. You know, you had the popular crowd. You had this crowd. You had all these other different crowds, and then I was the least of these. But thank God that his word says, 1 Corinthians 1:27, it says God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and he chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. What does that mean? That means God chose us to use us not only for our own self, but for his glory to help other people out as well. He's chosen us. And last week I talked about this. As you are a chosen generation or chosen people, you got to first and foremost identify with. You got to identify with the fact that I'm no longer who I used to be. I was talking to somebody at City Thrift. Johnny was there. He's seen it. And I was talking to this individual, and he struggles sometimes still seeing himself as, you know, how he used to be. Like, well, I've messed up or this and that. Like, thank God for his grace. But here's the thing about it. When I see myself always as a sinner, how I've always been, guess what I'm probably going to do? I'm probably going to sin. You know, that's just who I am. That's just what I do. But when I see myself as, you know what, I'm a child of God. I'm chosen. I'm blessed. I am above and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm an overcomer. When I identify myself as a chosen generation, guess what? I can then take it from my mind to my heart and into my action. I can start walking. How is that? And that's what we talked about last week. I talked about identifying as a chosen generation. He kept saying in that passage, he was saying, when? He said, when I take you to the land, when I do this, when I do that, you got to understand God's going to do his part. Amen?
Amen.
But there's still a part we got to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't want to hear that part. Sometimes we just want to, like, oh, do your thing, do your thing, do your thing. And then he gets you to that place, and now he's like, okay, do your thing. See, so many times I'm waiting on God to do, and God says, I'm waiting on you.
All right.
And so today we're going to talk about not only so I identify that I'm a chosen generation, now I'm going to, now that I've identified with it, I got to walk it. I've heard it best said like this, you know where the longest journey is in life? It's 18 inches. What you talking about, Chris? 18 inches. Yeah, the longest journey you will ever take in life is from your head to your heart. And see, in your head is just thinking about it. But your heart is knowing about it. And when it's in my heart, it becomes who I am. I walk in it. And there comes a life, there comes a time in our life where things shift, where we're not who we used to be. But we walk, Corey, as that new man, as that new creation. He says, the old things have passed away. Behold, all things become what? So let's go, starting in verse 11. This is going to be out of the NIV version today. He says, so be careful to follow the commands, rules, and laws I've given you today. So be careful. And I don't know if this is going to be the NIV version or not, but I'm going to run with it. Okay, it's all right. Okay, so mine, yeah, I think that may be the New King James version. But see, I pulled my NIV version out because I wanted to read this right here. Verse 12 says this. It says right here, it says, pay attention to the law of the Lord your God. But my version right here, verse 12 says, if you, somebody say if. He says, if you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them, then the Lord your God will keep his covenant of love with you as he swore to your ancestors. What does that mean? That's right there. He's saying, listen, I brought you to the place. I redeemed you. I set you apart. I helped deliver you from drugs and alcohol or whatever bondage lifestyle you be in selfishness, pride, anger, bitterness. I've delivered you from that. He says, when? And then now he's saying, if. So now I've done that. If you will do this, then this will happen. There's an if in it. You know, it's not guaranteed because sometimes we got to be willing to do our part. Deuteronomy 30, 19, and 20. He should have it on the screen for us. 9 and 10. No, 19 and 20. He may not hear. There it is. Okay, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. In other words, like when we walk, you got to understand all throughout our day, throughout our month, throughout our year, we're going to come to what we call a crossroads. We can either go this way or we can go that way. And he says, I brought you basically to a crossroad in life. You can either choose life or you can choose death. You can choose blessings or you can choose curses. In other words, he says, I'm putting it in your hands. You can choose what you want to do. See, we can't always blame everybody that I'm here because of everybody else. No, I'm sometimes in my places because of the choices I've made. And so I talked about it last week. I said, if I always do what I've always done, I'm going to get what I've always got. If I want something different, I got to what? Yes. He says, so now, not tomorrow, not next week, not like now, choose life so that you and your children may live. Verse 20. Oh. You don't have it up there. Verse 20 says basically so that you can all live a long life and the Lord be with you and you walk in prosperity, not of like much material or anything like that, but God's blessings that he has for you. Amen. All right, so let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Verse 12 again, it says, if you pay attention to these laws and be careful to follow them, then the Lord your God will keep his covenant of love with you. That's what he's promised with you and oath to your people long ago. Let me stop right here for a moment. Be careful to obey them, like the rules, the things that the Lord has for you. Be careful to walk in the right way, so to speak. And then he will keep his covenant of love with you. Let me give you an understanding real quick, okay? When you've accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, there is then a covenant that he shall never leave you nor forsake you. Now, this doesn't mean that if you mess up that God's going to run from you and not be there. No, his covenant's still there. He's still for you. But you got to understand this. I've heard it best said like this. It's like we can choose, okay? It's like this is a crazy analogy, but I heard it the other day. It makes sense. Being in the bathroom
I gotta take a shower. I'm in the bathroom. Well, I don't receive the blessing of the shower until I get wet in the shower, under it. And so, in other words, what am I saying about that? There are blessings that God has for you. There are great things and promises that God has for you, but it's up to you if you're willing to walk in it. That doesn't mean that if you mess up, God's running from you. No, that means there's a lot of blessings some of us ain't receiving because we ain't walking in it. Come on, now listen to me. If you want a blessed marriage, you do it by the biblical standards. You want blessings at your job, you do it by the biblical standards. You want blessings in your walk, you do it by the biblical standards, not the worldly standards. I don't know about you, but I've done so many things from the world standards, and guess what? They got me nowhere. But the moment I gave my life to the Lord and said, you know what? I'm willing to walk in your ways, your decrees, your will. At that point in time, the Lord started opening up the floodgates of heaven and pouring out more than I could ever even imagine. And I'm telling you, God's got more for you. And he says, you know, but here's the other part of a covenant love. A covenant love is a two-way street. Me and my wife have a covenant love, right? I can't expect her just to love me, love me, love me, and me not
give back. You know what I'm saying?
I've got to be willing to do my part in this covenant love. And it's saying, John, he ain't got it on the screen, but I'm going to read it real quick. John 14, 15 says this. If you love me, what does it say? Obey me and keep my commandments. Come on now. We can say all day long, oh, I love the Lord, I love the Lord. Are we walking in this place? You know, it's all day long. I can say, I love my wife, I love my wife. But if I'm sitting here dog cussing her at home and treating her like no good, guess what? There probably ain't a whole lot of love there, is
it? Amen.
Not like it is. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14, 21 says this. Whoever has my commands and keeps them, they're the ones who love me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. There's got to be a change in our walk when we identify as a chosen generation. And the downfall about it is there's a lot of people that's given Christianity a bad name. You know why?
Amen.
Because they ain't walking the walk. They talking the talk. And that's why I'm thankful. That's why I'm thankful when I came in here. Listen, I want to brag on this. Okay? And I just I'm being transparent, you know. So I just want to. When I walked into the room at first, okay, Ron? Can I be transparent?
Yeah.
Okay. When I walked into the room at first, I knew that the Chase House was coming, and I seen all these chairs over here. Okay. Do you know my first thought when I walked in? My first thought is all the church members are going to be here, and we're just going to shove the Chase House over there in the corner. Come on now, I'm being real with you. That was my first thought, because a lot of churches will do that. A lot of churches won't, they'll talk the talk, but they won't walk the walk.
Amen.
But then when I walked in here, and I came over here, and I started positioning the chairs and doing stuff, turning it, I had Ronnie come to me, and he said, the church members are going to sit over there. We're going to all sit, allow them to sit right here, be a part of it. And then my heart just melted with love at that point. So I'm like, thank you, God, that we're not just talking the talk, but we're willing to walk the walk. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Because it's little things like that can really change a person's attitude. Because you don't know how many people may come in these doors and already feel shunned from the society, or already feel like they're not good enough, and little do we know they take that same perspective to the Lord because they feel like they're not good with the Lord. And if we don't show the love of Christ to them as well, guess what? It's going to be the one thing that may run them back and say, you know what? Forget it. I ain't no good to the Lord anyways. Because, and so it's a beautiful thing when we show the love of Christ, and we don't just talk about it, but we walk in it. Amen. That's a covenant love. But I'm willing to sacrifice myself for somebody else. You know? So let's keep on going. Verse 13. He says, he will. I guess I'm just going to read it from here as well. I'm trying to go with it. The Lord will love you and bless you. He'll increase your numbers. He'll give you many children. He'll bless you, or he'll bless the crops of your land. He'll give you plenty of grain, oil, and fresh water. He'll bless your herd with many cows. Stay right there. Here's the thing about it. You got to understand there's blessings that come. Okay? And I'm not saying, I'm so thankful that Mason stood up here and said, you know what, when I first accepted Christ, there was this part of me that thought everything was going to be great. Then he lost his brother. And then turmoil came. That doesn't mean when you come up, when you walk with the chosen generation, you're not going to go through hardships. Jesus said it himself. He says, in this world, you'll have many troubles, trials and tribulations, but take heart, I've overcome this world. And then there will be peace. And so when I say the blessings, I'm not talking about materialistic, you're going to get this and all these things, but I'm talking about, man, there is a peace that I have that no world can give me, no little pill can give me. There's a joy that I have. Can't give me. There's a love that I have that no woman or no man or nobody, anybody else can give me. I have true blessings by Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. Amen. Yeah. I'm facing more troubled waters. Guess what? He's there with me.
Yeah.
And see, there's so many blessings. But see, you got to understand right here as well that the perspective right here where he's talking to the Israelites, he's saying, I'm going to increase your numbers. He continues to go on. He says, there's no male or no female. Like no womb is going to be barren. There's going to be like, I'm going to do all these things. There's a part of it at that point in time, the Lord poured out so much blessings like that materialistically, because when they walked into the land of Canaan, into the promised land, they were not to be like everybody else. And so when they walked in the obedience of Christ and the Lord poured out his blessings on them, do you know what the land of Canaan done and the people of Canaanites done? Like, well, what you got that I ain't got? Like, what is, and I'm saying that at this point in time because the Lord will do things in your life, great things, not just for you, but for others to see.
Mm-hmm.
Say, I want what you got. I want that peace. I want that passion. Not so much I want your car, but I want that joy, that purpose that you have in life. And when we walk as a chosen generation, it doesn't just shift and change me. You want me to tell you when it finally shifted and changed with me? When I seen it in somebody else.
Amen.
Not when I read about it, not when I all this other thing, but when I seen it in somebody else, I said, I want what they got. Because what I'm doing is not working. And the Lord allows those things and comes and allows those blessings in your life to bring it. I want to say this, the Lord gave me this revelation last night, or yesterday. He'll give you plenty of grain, olive oil, and fresh wine. One of the greatest blessings that you will get when you walk in obedience to the Lord is grain, fresh wine, and fresh oil. What does that mean? The grain represented the word of God. So when you walk in obedience to the Lord, he allows new revelation and a new hunger for him and not the world. Amen? God, you taste the seed that the Lord's good, and you're not wanting none of that stuff again when you walk in that. I don't know about you, but I got an appetite, a new appetite for this right here. Now, my brother said this. He says, I'm in love with the Lord, and I fall in love with him more and more each day. And by the grace of God, he's given us a new hunger for us to continue to fall in love with him and not the things of the world. Amen? And so as you walk in the obedience, he gives you that new grain or that new hunger, new revelation. He also gives you new wine. What did wine represent in the Bible? It represented joy and celebration. It represented all those things. And so when you walk in the obedience of the Lord, listen, you have a joy that's unattainable. You've got this celebration, this excitement. Chris, why do you always jump around and shout? Because I'm excited about what the Lord does. I want to shout from the rooftops. I want to tell somebody about the grace of God. There's a new joy that's coming. And I believe that when you walk in the obedience and the fresh wine, you know what the wine, I'm sorry, I had that. In the fresh oil, you know what the oil represented? The Holy Spirit. And you receive a new power and a new anointing. What do I mean by that? Now, I'm not getting all, you know, what a new power and a new anointing. I'm talking about that thing that you couldn't overcome before. Guess what? By the grace of God and walking in obedience to him, you now have the power to overcome. See, this right here, Chris was not no public speaker. Chris was not no reader. Chris wasn't. This is the anointing of the Holy Spirit that allows me to speak and flow like this. Amen? And I'm telling you, why am I saying that? Because when you walk in the obedience of God, what happens is you get to walk in your calling. Come on now. And it becomes, have you ever heard this word before? Supernatural.
Amen.
What are you talking about in here? Supernatural. I'm talking about this right here. What I'm doing right now, this is supernatural. What do I mean? Because this ain't Chris. Let's do it. But it's the Holy Spirit through me that's doing it. What do I mean? Well, it looks so natural. Like, I mean, you on the outside, looking at it like, Chris, I mean, it just looks so natural to you to do this. Like, you don't know how nervous I get sometimes before. Like, my stomach was butterflies on my way up here today. I'm like, Lord, God, I got to have you because I don't want to mess this thing up. You know what I'm saying? And for you, you can be like, man, it looks so super, or it looks so natural to you. Well, no, you know what that is? It's supernatural. What does that mean, supernatural? Not no crazy but magic stuff where supernatural is like, this is just superly natural to me. Does that make sense? It's just like really natural. Well, that means that the Lord's doing it and not me doing it. Yes. And so the same in your life. That's the beautiful thing about it, man. Is there is a joy, there's a hope, there's a calling, there is something on the other side of this. I seen somebody quote this earlier. The beautiful thing about the yes of God is that their God is on the other side of it. Come on now. When you give God your yes, listen, there's something beautiful on the other side.
Yeah.
Man. And so when we walk in that, we keep going. God bless your heart. He'll give you flocks, many lambs. He'll do all these things for you in the land of Canaan. It's the land he promised your people long ago that he would give you. A promise. The Lord has given you a promise. There are some people in this room right now that are holding on to some promises. Would you agree with me?
Amen.
Are you holding on to some things?
Yes.
The beautiful thing about it, Corinthians says this. His promises are what? Yes and amen. Let me give you a little breakdown of that. I've always heard that, and then as I looked into it, his promises are yes. And what the scripture says, his promises are yes, and we give back a resounding amen. What does that mean? His promises are yes to you. Like, I mean, it will not return void. He's not a respecter of man. He's not going to do it for my brother here and not be willing to do it for my brother here. He's going to do it for you, but are you going to walk in the obedience to receive it? Okay? So he says this. He says his promises are yes. So he promises to do what his word says he will do. But then you've got to give back a amen.
Amen.
You know what amen means? So be it. Lord, I agree with you. See, it's easy. Brother Ronnie, it's easy for me to say amen when I see it. It's easy for me to say amen when I'm receiving it. It's easy for me to say amen when I'm on the mountaintop. But the Lord says, hey, my promises are yes, but are you still going to say amen when you're on your knees? Are you still going to say amen when you're in the valley? Are you still going to say amen when it don't look like it, when it don't feel like it, and when you don't think it's coming? Will you still stand on the promises of God and say, God, you know what? I don't see it, but amen, I know your promises are true. Amen. Thank you, Abby, for holding on to a promise. Thank you, Caleb, for holding on to a promise. You know what promise? She held on to God's best and not the one before the best. And she was willing to keep herself pure until marriage. And I thank God that she held on to the promise and said, you know what? God's got somebody for it. Because if she wouldn't have held on to that promise, guess what? We wouldn't be here right now.
Amen.
Because she was willing to hold on to a promise, she waited. And when we wait on God, when we hold on to a promise, we're willing to wait for what God's got and not those. Listen, y'all. There are blessings when you walk in the obedience to God. Y'all getting anything out of this? Let's keep going. He says he will bless you more than any other nation. Why? Because people need to look at you. Then tell me about that. Oh, let me tell you. Now, if you got the wrong heart motive and this and that, no, it ain't going to work. But let me tell you about my Jesus. Yeah.
Tell me about the goodness of God.
You see, the beautiful, I'm always thankful for Miss Linda back there. She said, I'm going to testify. The Lord saved my soul. I'm sure the Lord saved her soul years ago. But guess what? She's still testifying it to this day.
Right.
Do you have something to share about God, the goodness of God? Matter of fact, I'm not saying anything about this, but we were at Crane Friday night. And now we couldn't help. Yeah, it was good for them. But we couldn't help but to tell this young 17-year-old that was with us the goodness of God. And because we was willing to testify to him and tell him about the goodness of God, guess what? This 17-year-old gave his life to the Lord right there at Clay. The goodness. And he said, what I'm doing, I ain't doing it. And I want what you got. Come on now. He's allowing you to be blessed so you can take other people back to the Father.
Amen. Amen.
Man, I'm thankful for his calling. I'm thankful that he shows us. I'm thankful that he didn't leave us as orphans out here, but he's a father, a good, good father. And he says that all of your livestock will have little ones. And you men and women will have children. Let me say this, man. Children are a blessing of the Lord.
Yes, they really are.
And so we thank the Lord for the little ones and the blessed, because that's the next generation. Verse 15. The Lord will keep you from getting sick. He won't send on you any of the horrible sicknesses you saw all around you in Egypt, but he'll send them on everyone who hates you. Let me say this right here. There's a lot of sicknesses we do get because we inflict on ourselves.
Amen.
We really do. Like, I'm not saying every sickness is that, so don't take it like that. But there's things that we can do better as far as, like, walking in some obedience that will keep ourselves from some of the things that we get ourselves. I mean, okay, I'm putting it out there. Y'all probably won't ever have me. Like, I had hepatitis. Like, whoa, Chris, you say that? Yeah. But by the grace of God, it's gone. Do you know why? Because I was doing things I shouldn't have done. And I was involved in things I shouldn't have never been. But today, by the grace of God, me walking in the obedience and the blessings of the Lord, guess what? His sickness has not come upon me. It's not coming to take me over. God, I can turn. Oh, and that's the beautiful thing about it, y'all. We've got one that's with us and for us. Will you walk in it? Verse 16, you must destroy all of the nations the Lord your God hands over you. Don't feel sorry for them. Don't serve their gods. If you do, there'll be a trap for you. Like, there's going to be times that you're going to have to be willing to do something. You're going to have to be willing to cut some people off.
Amen.
You're going to have to be willing to shut some doors.
Yes.
You're going to have to be willing to turn off some phones. You're going to have to be willing to tell people no. You're going to have to be willing to destroy some things in your life that's going to destroy you if you don't do it.
Amen.
But you've got to be willing to face those things. I'm going to tell you, I was that one that didn't want to face things. I don't like conflicts. I like everything to be smooth and okay. So with that being said, I wouldn't face some of the things I'd run from. And I wouldn't deal with things. Thank God you're in a controlled environment right now. The beautiful thing about a controlled environment, like Mason was saying, family. We're all family. But when you have all family together, sometimes there's a little ruffling of the feathers. Well, that's a beautiful thing. You know why? Because sometimes it's not until I get the ruffling of the feathers that it really reveals in me what I need to work on.
That's pretty
good. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because when everything's good all day long, I can say, you know what? It's okay. It's okay. I'll do it. I ain't got nothing I need to work on until somebody upsets me. Until there's some problems, some pressures, or some people that really reveals what's on the inside of me. And I got to be willing to deal with that, look at that, and face that. If not, I'm going to be doing the same thing. I got to be willing to destroy some things before it destroys me.
Amen.
I had a vision one time when I was at the training center. And I'm sitting there and I'm just praying. And the Lord, and I will never get away from it because it's a revelation the Lord gave me. In this vision, as I'm just sitting there, I'm walking down this path. It's out in the field. There's some woods and stuff. I'm walking down this path. And it's a path that I've been walking down. It's kind of like this right here. And down that path, there was a big hole in the middle of the path. But as I walked up to that hole in my vision, there's that hole right there. Right beside that hole, there was another path that was worn down in the middle of the field and stuff. And so I was trying to figure it out, and then I kind of go back into it again, and I'm walking up to it again, and I realize this time there's a hand over the hole. The Lord gave me this revelation. That was my life. All my life, I would walk this path of life. I would come up to the hole, the situation, the problem that I didn't ever want to deal with, and guess what I would always do? I would get that path around it, and I would go around it. Well, I would never deal with it. I would never look at it. But by the grace of God, today, there's a hand over that, because I don't walk around it. Come on, I'll walk through it. Amen. Amen. And that's that scripture, 1 Corinthians 10:13. He says, there's no temptation that's overtaking you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. Somebody said, God's faithful.
God is faithful.
He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And he says this, and when you are tempted, not if, because guess what? This world is going to try to tempt you. He's going to try to destroy you. When you are tempted, he will provide a way out. But we've always stopped right there. Let me tell you the last three words. He will provide a way out so you can endure it.
Yes.
Amen. It doesn't mean it's going to go away. It just means he's going to allow you to walk through it.
Amen.
Amen. There's things in our life, y'all, that we've got to deal with. We got to destroy before it destroys us.
Yes.
I'm going to talk to the ones that struggle with drugs and alcohol. You're just trying to get clean and sober. It's a matter of time before you get high again.
Yeah.
Chris, don't tell them that. Yeah, I am going to tell them that. Because it's about Jesus Christ. Oh, it deals with things. Drugs and alcohol was not the problem. That was the solution. That's what I kept running to because of the problem. The problem was my hurts, my rejections, my wounds, and all these other different things. And I never allowed God to heal that. And if I don't allow God to work on that and heal that, guess what? When it comes back up and the band-aid gets ripped off, I'm going to run back to what I've already ran back to make them feel better. Let's destroy those things. Let's look at it. Let's keep going. Verse 16. Or, yeah, 17. You might say to yourselves, these nations are stronger than we are. How can we drive them out? In other words, as a man thinketh, so is he. If you're already coming up to something saying, there ain't no way I can do this, guess what you ain't going to do? If the program, this is why I tell people, man, you got to have a no other option attitude. What do I mean by that? I mean that no matter how hard it, because if I got option A and option B, you got other choices. But if I got option A and option B, guess what? If option A gets hard enough, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to run to option B. And let me tell you at Chase House, listen to me right now. Option A is you walking through and finishing what you started at the Chase House.
That's right.
But if you got in the back of your mind option B, you know what? If it gets hard, I'm going to leave. Guess what you're going to do? When it gets hard, you're going to what? You're going to leave. You got to take it with a no other option attitude. You know what? I'm doing this thing. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how bad it gets, same with us as church, you know, when I'm dealing with things, I'm going to go through it. I'm not going to run from it. I'm going to, because if I already think I can't defeat this thing, guess what? I ain't never going to do it.
Amen.
And that's what he's saying. He says, you might say to yourself, these nations are stronger than we are. How can we drive them out? And if you're already viewing yourself as that, guess what you're going to do? You're not going to deal with it. And let me tell you what he's talking about right here. Do y'all remember when Moses sent 10 spies into the land?
Yeah.
He sent 10 spies into this same land right here. And when he sent 10 of them in there, guess what? No, I'm sorry, he sent 12 spies. And then when he sent the 12 spies, 10 of them came back and said, we can't do this. It's great. There's a beautiful land out there, and I see the promises of God, but I can't do this thing because it's a little bit harder than I was expecting. I see some giants over there, and guess what they did? They didn't go and take it. And they came back. But then there was a Joshua, and there was a Caleb, and said, no, my God is with me.
Yeah.
You
can be with me. Yeah.
I'm not going to listen to the naysayers. I'm going to go. But unfortunately, the naysayers won at that point in time. But guess what? The Lord says, well, Joshua and Caleb still won't go. Listen, the others around you may not go, but if you hold on to the promises of God, the Lord says, you will go. You will make it, you know. Though they may not go, you will go.
Yeah.
And so that's what he's telling them again. He says, listen, y'all, okay. You're going back to that same spot that you went to 40 years ago or however long ago you went to. And remember when you went there last time, you got a little discouraged. You see some giants. It didn't look like you could beat it. You was getting kind of overwhelmed. Listen, it doesn't mean that it's going away. That stuff's still there. But I'm here to remind you, the Lord says, that I'm with you wherever you go. When I take you into the land, though you may see it, you hold on to the promises.
Yeah.
Greater is he that's on the inside of you. And so he said, don't already sell yourself short in your mind.
Come on.
Then he goes, verse 18. He says, don't be afraid of them. Be sure to remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and all the Egyptians. What, why is that important? Listen, man, you need to remember what God's done.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay?
Yeah.
When you face difficulties, when you go through storms, when you go through all this stuff, you need to remember and not forget what God's done. My sister Linda back there, she saved my soul. Y'all don't know the testimony of her of how she wasn't supposed to be here right now. She should be dead. The enemy should have taken her out and all this stuff. But God miraculously raised her back. And she knows. So guess what? When she faces things again, she knows, you know what? My God got to do it before. My God going to get to do it again.
Amen.
I know, I'm going to remember what he done. Verse 19. With your own eyes, you saw what the Lord did for them. See, I don't care how bitter you may be right now, but there is, I don't care what lenses you're looking at, you cannot, I repeat, you cannot stop right now and look behind you and not see the hand of God on your life. Okay? You can be bad and upset at what's going on around you right now. If you look at the problem long enough, guess what? The problem's going to increase. But if you look at the solution, guess what? The solution will increase. And so that's the same with us, man. You cannot deny the fact that you are sitting here right now because of the grace of God. Things should have taken you out. People should have, it shouldn't have, you know, if you was to look back 10 years ago, you wouldn't expect yourself to be where you're at right now. And see, and some of us, you know, may be in a worse spot than we was 10 years ago. Well, the beautiful thing about it is God can get us past that. God can get us through that. We remember what God's done. And he says, we've seen it with our own eyes. You saw the miraculous signs and wonders. He reached out in his mighty hand and his powerful arm. The Lord your God used all those things to bring you out. Verse 12, he will do the same thing to all of the nations you are now afraid of. Let's go to verse 20. The Lord your God, see, this is what I was talking about earlier. The Lord your God will also send hornets among them. In other words, when they went into the promised land, the Canaanites, they couldn't go find all of them and defeat all of them. And some of them hid in caves. And some of them was like trying to ambush them and all these other different things. Like they couldn't see them. And so what did the Lord do? The Lord sent hornets to drive them out so they could see them and so they could destroy them. So I'm going to bring this in relation to our life right now. There's hidden things in your life that you're holding on to, that you're not wanting to deal with, you're not wanting to work on, you're not wanting to go through. And the thing about it is the Lord's going to send hornets among you to draw that stuff out. Because it's those things that the Lord wants to heal. He wants to reveal it so that he can heal it. And I'm going to say this, okay? What's done in the dark, guess what? It'll be brought to light.
Amen.
It will. Yeah. And maybe you got some things in the dark. I'm not saying that to condemn you. No. I'm so thankful that in John chapter 8, when there was a lady that was caught in adultery, she had a lot of stuff in the dark that she didn't want nobody to know about. But what did our Lord and Savior do? He came and brought light on it, and we pulled it out of the dark. And I tell you that what she was caught up with, I bet you it was probably the worst feeling she ever felt, but it was probably also the best feeling she ever felt.
Amen.
Has there ever been a time in your life you've carried things around, like, I can't tell nobody, I can't tell all these other different things, but then you finally get caught up with it, it's just like, honestly, it lifts that weight off. Thank you. So I'm telling you, listen, the Lord doesn't try to bring that out to condemn you. It's like my brother Corey says, it's always an invitation. The Lord is trying to draw you in deeper. He wants to minister to you. He wants to love on you. He wants to help you through those things. And he's going to bring stuff out. It's like David. Because this is the darkness. This is what happens. Y'all know the story of David. David, he was a man after God's own heart, right? He was all these things. But he also committed what? Adultery. He also what? Murdered somebody. Like he done all this stuff to cover it up. So let me tell you the story, my analogy on it. Okay, so he's up on the roof, and he sees Bathsheba over there, right, on the roof. And you cannot tell me if this is a man after God's own heart. When he looked over there at her and seen it, he was probably lusting after her. But you cannot tell me that the Holy Spirit was not, don't do that. Don't do that.
Amen.
Come on, David. You know better than that.
Amen.
And the same with us as children and sons and daughters of the Most High God. When you're in that, he's going to convict you.
Yeah.
He's going to tug on you. He's going to bring that stuff. Yeah. And so I believe with David, see, the chapter right before them is he destroyed all these chariots and all these nations. Like, I mean, overwhelmed, destroyed some stuff. So there possibly could be this part of David when he's up on the roof. He sees over there, then he may, at this point in time, may have a little bit of pride.
Okay.
Why? Because he just destroyed all this stuff. No, can't nobody get me. Can't nobody stop me. Like, I mean, look what we done did. I'm not saying, I'm just saying, come on now. Some of us have some pride in us at times.
Amen.
Yeah.
We're willing to submit and humble ourselves, and then the moment things start going, ooh, this is coming out. Mm.
You could be over here and somebody trying to affirm you over here, and things over here are dying away. You ain't going to want to look at them. You ain't going to, like, I mean, things that you need to really work on, you ain't willing to want to work on them because you got somebody on the outside giving you affirmation saying, well, you know what? I'm good. I'm good. And as long as you got these pats on the back and the affirmation, oh, you're good. You're good. You're good. Guess what? You're not going to be willing to look at what's not good. And the same with the Chase House. I'm going to speak to the Chase House for a moment. When it gets tough at the Chase House, and you got everybody here at the job telling you, oh, man, you're good, you're good, you're good. Guess what? You ain't going to listen to the truth, and you're not going to listen to submit yourself to the authority or anything because you're going to run to listen to what's tickling your ears out here. I'm saying that because sometimes the Lord tries to reveal it. So David was at this spot. He probably had a little bit of pride. He didn't want to hear it. He didn't want to look at it. And so the longer he looked at it, guess what? He went after it. Look, I'm telling you, if you look at it long enough, you're going to end up doing it. If you meditate on it long enough, if it's an option in the back of your head long enough, guess what? You're going to end up running to it. Okay? And so what did he do? He ran to it. And he got what he thought he wanted. Come on now, we've all been there right now. Come on, if I just had this, or if I had this, you know, it would make it better. Come on now, that thing, and you got what you thought you needed, what did it do? It didn't make it better. And so that's what David did. He went and got it. And then he ended up getting her pregnant. Y'all know the story. And then what did he do? He's like, man, I can't get caught up with. Like, I can't have people knowing what I just did. So what did he do? He tried to keep covering it up. Mm-hmm. The same with you. That thing that over here in the dark that the Lord's trying to bring to light, if we don't deal with it, we're going to keep trying to cover it up.
Amen.
We're going to put lie on top of lie on top of lie on top of lie. They keep finding out. Next thing you know, I'm two different people. I'm this way in front of you. And I'm this way in front of them. And so he kept going. And then what did he do? He went and he got her husband killed. And then, whoo, I'm good now. I got what I need. And, you know, can't nobody stop me now. You know, I got it. I'm good. I covered it up. And then there was this prophet named Nathan.
Yeah.
And this prophet named Nathan came to him. He said, hey, David, let me talk to you about something. There's this man, this rich man that has all these sheep, lamb, got all this stuff. And right beside him is this man, this poor man that's got one lamb that he has raised all his life and took care of all his life. And it sleeps with him. He feeds it, all this stuff. And there's this family coming into town, and the rich man has to feed them. And do you know what the rich man does, David? And he says, what? He says, the rich man didn't take one of his sheep. The rich man went over and took the lamb or the sheep of his poor neighbor over there, got it, slaughtered it, and fed that family. You know, David, what should we do to that man? And David said, we should kill him. And we should take all that stuff that he's got and give, like, that's what we should do. And Nathan's like, you know what? You're right. Then he looked at him and said, you are that man. David was caught up.
Yeah.
How do you think David felt at that point in time? He's hit his knees. And I'm sure true, because he's a man after God's own heart. True repentance took place because God, I'm sorry. Man. I'm not sorry I got caught, but he says, I sinned against you, Lord. I didn't just sin against my neighbor, but I sinned against you, Lord. And it was at that point in time that he said, I'm sorry, and repentance, it took place. And I say that to say this, listen, God's going to bring it to light.
Amen.
One or two ways, either over here in the dark when nobody, he's not trying to put it on blast where everybody knows about it. He really don't want to do that. He's like over here when we're in the dark, we're doing the things we don't need to do, the Lord's dealing with us. Conviction's there. He's trying to bring it to light right then so you and him can deal with it before it leads to destruction and you work on it. You know what I'm saying? It may be just talking to one brother, praying with somebody, or whatever the case may be. Ain't everybody got to know about it. The Lord's trying to bring it to light and you deal with it right then. And then what takes place is you don't deal with it. He loves you so much, he knows that thing is going to kill you, eventually lead you to destruction. Guess what he's going to do? He loves you so much, he's going to bring it to light himself. Mm-hmm. He's going to send you a Nathan.
Amen.
He's going to do something to cause that thing to say, you know what, man, I need to do something different. But that's not condemning you. That's not because he don't love you, but that's because he loves you.
Amen.
He knows where that is taking you. Let me keep on going. Verse 20, The Lord your God will also send hornets among them. Some of the people who are left alive will hide from you, but even they will die. So there's things in our life as well that's like that we're trying to hide, and the Lord's trying to send hornets to it to bring it to the light sometime. Because he wants you to walk in his way, y'all. It is truly a blessed nation. Verse 21. So don't be terrified by them. The thing that you're dealing with, don't be terrified about it. The Lord your God is with you. He is a great and wonderful God. The NIV version says this. He is an amazing and awesome God. I love that, man, because our God is an awesome God.
Is an awesome God.
He says, so don't be terrified of them, because God is with you when you face those things. Verse 22. The Lord your God will drive out those nations to make room for you. But he will do it, what are those three words right there?
Little by little.
See, some of y'all got to understand, the Lord's doing a work on you. And it's little by little. Some of y'all are wishing y'all were already over here. I'm upset why you ain't over it. God says, I'm not, like, we're doing this thing little by little. How long was y'all at God's House of Hope? 6 years. I bet you doing it 6 years. You're like, man, I need to be here. I need to be here. All these other different things. God was doing things little by little. Because if you probably would have left at year two or year three, I would have never met. You wouldn't be right here where you're at right now. You got to understand, God is doing little by little. Let God finish what he started. God's doing things. It may not look big to you, but God says it's a big thing. And sometimes you just got to look behind you and see how far you're called. And sometimes, and I say this, celebrate the small victories. Amen?
Amen. Yes. Yeah.
He says, he'll get rid of them little by little. You won't be allowed to get rid of all of them at once. If you did, the wild animals would multiply around you. In other words, he's talking about like if I was to go ahead and sometimes the Lord takes you the long way, because if he was to bring you to it straight right now and make something happen right now, some of y'all wouldn't be prepared for it. So sometimes the Lord is preparing you for what's next. So quit trying to get to the next and just allow God to do what he's doing right now, little by little. Okay, let's wrap this thing up. If you did, the animals would be too much around you. Verse 23. But the Lord your God will hand those nations over to you. He will throw them in a panic until they are destroyed. And God is greater on the inside of you than he that is in the world. Don't be afraid, man. Face those things. Verse 24. He will hand their kings over to you. You will wipe out their names from the earth. No one will be able to stand up against you. You will destroy them. Verse 25. Burn the statues of their gods in the fire. Don't long for the silver or gold that is on those statues. Don't take it for yourself. If you do, it will be a trap for you. The Lord your God hates it. What am I saying right there? Listen, as you're going through this chosen walking in obedience to the Lord, you're going to be tempted to want to see what others are doing. And you're going to be tempted to want to envy how others are doing. Proverbs 23:17 says this. Do not let your heart envy sinners.
Amen.
But always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Because your future hope will surely not be cut off. What does that mean? That means as I'm walking in obedience to Christ, I may not get what I want when I wanted. It may not happen how I thought I was going to do it. Like all these things, because God's plans are greater than mine. But if I'm not careful, if I start letting my heart envy a sinner out there that's got a job and I ain't got a job, a sinner out there that's not living obedience to the Lord, and it looks like his life's doing good, my life's hard, but his life, you know what I tend to do? I start envying them, and then I start, like he's saying, longing for their silver and gold. I start wanting what they've got rather than walking in obedience to where God's got me at right now. Does that make sense, y'all?
Yes.
And that's not if, that's when, because you got to be careful, because those temptations will come. Because it may not, things in your life may not happen when you want it, how you want it, where you want it. And if you are not careful and guard your eyes, you will be tempted to want to do things other than be obedient to God because you want what others got. That means don't do it. It's a trap. You stay obedient. Do not grow weary in doing good, because in a due season, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Y'all, that is a promise from God. He says, if you do not give up when you walk this thing out, the Lord says, I promise you, while we're going to start this thing up, I promise you,
He will do what he says he can do. Last verse, verse 26. Don't bring anything he hates into your house. If you do, you'll be completely destroyed along with it. So hate it with all your heart. It is set apart to be destroyed. In other words, y'all, you got to guard yourself.
Amen.
You got to keep yourself guarded that you don't, that ain't that bad. We all have our own convictions, but listening to a bunch of ungodly music, listening to a bunch of old stuff, like things that draw you back to the world. Don't flirt with the world.
Amen.
Don't just get right there to the edge. Well, I ain't going to mess with it. I'm just going to get around it. Come on now. Come on. You get around it long enough. I told y'all this last week. You go to a barbershop long enough, you know what's going to happen. You got a haircut, didn't you? When you came into the program, you got a haircut, didn't you? Yeah, that was a good haircut. But see, some of it, when we go around the barbershop long enough, we ain't careful, we're going to end up getting a haircut. If you flirt with that thing long enough, mark my words, it's a matter of time before that thing takes you down. Everybody stand up. If you can, okay, hang out right where you're at. I just want to call to action. I was going to talk about Ephesians 4, but I'm not, because just time's sake. Last week I talked about, some of y'all wasn't here, but you are a chosen generation. You identify with that. I am chosen. I walk in that. I'm a chosen generation. Today, as you identify with the fact, you know what? I'm chosen. I'm not who I used to be. I'm something different. But I ask you this question now. And I'm not saying be perfect, not all these other different things, but I ask you this question. Are you walking in the ways that God has you to walk in? And yes, you may be walking in that direction, but are there areas of your life that you're not fully walking as a chosen son and daughter of God? Whether that be the things you're looking at, the things you're listening to, things you're meditating on, has the world slightly been pulling you to the side and getting your attention to try to get you off track? Has the Lord today possibly came and started knocking on your heart and says, come on, let's get back on track. Let's walk this thing out. Well, God, it's hard. He said, I never did say it'd be easy, but it'll be worth it. Greater is he on the inside of you than he that is in this world.
Yeah.
Will you face it? Or maybe some of you are walking that path and there's something in the middle and you've been walking around and you haven't allowed God to allow you to walk through it. Some of us may have this thought, you know what? I'm taking that thing to the grave. I ain't telling nobody about that. I ain't dealing with that. I ain't dealing with all these things. Be careful, because that thing may take you to the grave.
Right.
We got a guy that was at God's house of hope. We just, there was something he done years ago. And guess what? He was willing to stand up and own up to it and deal with it. There may be things in our life as well. So I'm not going to do anything special. I'm going to open up the altar. I'm going to pray and open up the altar call, but I want to ask this question right here. Is there things that the God's trying to get you back on track? And I also ask you this question right here. Yeah, the altar's open. If you have never made that decision to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you've been going through the motions, but you haven't fully surrendered your life and say, God, I can't. God, you can. My presence right here, some of y'all know, it says, I know that I know that I know. And Lord forbid, if anything happened to you, do you know what I should have done where you spend eternity at? Or maybe you've walked that way and you walked away and the Lord's knocking and say, come on back. Come on back. And if that's you right now, with the boldness of the Holy Spirit, I ask you to step out. Maybe you've walked that path and you walked away, but today you want to say, God, I want to come back to you. God, I want to do my old thing. God, I want to come back to you. And if that's you, I'm going to ask you to step out.